Back to begin hour number two of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us on this Monday afternoon. Download the WNML app. Trying to keep my mic plugged in, Heather Harrington, so hopefully that will be okay.
Yeah, we've got a few
I did the old Nintendo cartridge move where I blew on the, I guess, the insert here to see if I can get any dust out of there. So just like starting Duck Hunt again, we'll do the same with the microphone here.
Yeah, whenever you had to get the NES, you would blow a couple of times, maybe even wipe it with your shirt. That was definitely a move that we had. And sometimes I would even take a paper towel and stick it in the console and maybe get some dust out. So maybe I should have done a better job vacuuming my room back then. But yeah, definitely good use of the old Nintendo trick.
Yes, we all should probably take that advice that you just handed out there, Heather Harrington. We invite you to join us today at 656-9900. Jimmy Himes, 25 minutes from now, joining us to talk about the NFL draft as we are just 2.5 weeks away. I'm guessing the ratings are going to be pretty, pretty good for that NFL draft when it takes place, assuming it still does, April 23rd through the 25th. And we'll talk to Jimmy about the release of his first mock draft as several of our WNML Sports Animal team members are doing that over the next few days and next few weeks. And last segment, we talked a little bit about the NFL All-Decade team coming out. Eric Berry's on the team, and I think he's very deserving. I also think it's just an incredible compliment to Eric that he missed almost half of the decade and is still considered one of the three best players at his position over the last 10 years. He was terrific, and I think he's a Hall of Famer someday. We'll find out then, but I hope that he gets in. Also, Cordarrelle Patterson, a member of the All-Decade team as a kick returner alongside Devin Hester. And then at quarterback, Heather, you have Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady is a two-time All-Decade member. Last decade, the 2000s, he was on the All-Decade team with Peyton Manning. Now he's on the All-Decade team with Aaron Rodgers. It is not easy to be on two All-Decade teams in the NFL.
No.
I believe he's the first to do it at quarterback. I don't know who else has done it. We'd have to obviously go back and look. Somebody would have that information. But to be on the All-Decade team twice and to do it at that position is remarkable.
Yeah, and the write-up on NFL.com, and I had seen a couple of tweets that also echoed this at the time when he was moving to Tampa Bay. But it says that it's fitting that Brady previously captured all 2000s honors as his unparalleled career could legitimately be split in half, and both halves would be Hall of Fame careers, which is just crazy. I mean, the fact that he's not only been able to stay healthy for this long and play at such a high level, he was also a Super Bowl MVP twice during this second decade, and has three Super Bowl rings and two regular season MVPs. I mean, so that's just really crazy, the kind of stats and the kind of career that somebody like Tom Brady has had.
So Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are your All-Decade quarterbacks in the NFL. At running back, you have Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, and Adrian Peterson. Something that's changed, they used to have an All-Decade fullback. Now they have a flex, and that's Darren Sproles. And then at wide receiver, Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown. Your All-Decade wide receivers in the NFL. Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce at tight end.
Yeah, the tight ends. I mean, golly, those, you talk about just all-star studs. That's just an incredible two-player combo right there. I like the wide receivers, and I think the two best are Julio Jones and Antonio Brown. And that's the biggest shame about Antonio Brown's career is that he has just wasted so much time being a diva and having a difficult attitude and being difficult in locker rooms. And you just think of what could have been the player that he could be. But yeah, I mean, for a long time, he was number one when it came to statistical wide receiving categories, especially when you're talking about catches and total yards. I mean, he's just an incredible player.
Yep, so Antonio Brown out of the league this past season, started out, I guess, the season with the New England Patriots with the regular season, but did not last long, as you're well aware. Yeah, the best wide receiver of the decade, I would want to pull up numbers. Who'd you say, Julio and Antonio?
Yeah, I think those are the two best, yeah, easily.
Okay, part of it is Calvin's been retired for a few years. I think of him maybe as just peak of his powers, he's the best. Larry is the most, he has the most sustained success. Julio also, yeah, it comes back to the Super Bowl. If they win that game, that catch he makes on the sideline, he made more than one play, but he had an incredible catch on the right sideline. It becomes one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history. The consistency and still dominance of Larry Fitzgerald, I think I would go Calvin as the best. Now, best decade, again, Calvin doesn't play in the entire decade. Julio pretty much has.
Yeah, and maybe it's recency bias. And I always had, you know, unfortunately with Megatron, the worst part is that he was in Detroit. You know, if he's playing for somebody else, anybody else, we're probably talking about him hands down, slam dunk, like you're saying, being the best wide receiver. But I think, you know, playing for a bad team, you just kind of become an afterthought, especially when you have been retired for a couple of years. When you look at Antonio Brown, I mean, he was the model of high level consistent play for like the last six seasons before last year, the last six seasons of the decade. I mean, he was incredible when it came to catches and yards. He was Mr. Dependability. Now he would get a little banged up towards the end of the season and maybe not have the best playoffs, but that would also apply to Calvin because you never got to see him, you know, play in the playoffs. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's a great debate to have, but you probably are right where Calvin Johnson was a guy that not everybody could do what he could do. Like his ceiling was just so high. It's not like he played like that all the time, but his ceiling, he was a monster on the field.
Yeah. And again, we're talking about the debate of the members of the all-decade team. So I wouldn't sit here and say your choice is wrong at all, because Julio's been incredible and his numbers are.
Yep.
Calvin had 122 receptions, 1,964 yards, only five touchdowns, which is actually, it's remarkable that he only had five touchdowns. The year before, he had 16 touchdowns, but he was 36 yards shy of 2,000 in the 2012 season. Julio had an 1,800-yard season and 1,600 yards. Here are his numbers. I mean, just think about this. From 2014 through this past season, 1593, 1871, 1409, 1444, 1677, 1394. And in 2015, along with those 1,871 yards, Julio caught 136 passes. So statistically, I would probably take Julio with what he's done. So that's why your choice, there's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah, and then to go one deeper, I mean, this is why it would be so hard to come up with just one, because no player in the past decade has racked up more all-purpose yards, so being used all over the field, than Antonio Brown with over 14,319 yards. I mean, that's an astronomical number.
Yeah. Yep. All Larry Fitzgerald did, I mean, what a bum of a decade. 90 catches, 80 catches, 71, 82. Couple of years later, 109, 107, 109, three straight seasons over 100 receptions,
yeah,
at the ages of 32, 33, 34.
And Antonio Brown had six straight seasons of 100-plus catches. Only wide receiver to do that.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking, I mean, about
it's a passers league,
freaks.
So obviously the numbers change. Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's quite a crew. But back-to-back decades, Tom Brady all decade in the NFL. So there's some breaking news for you. Tom Brady's had a pretty good career.
If we're making predictions for this decade upcoming, you know, seeing that we do ever return to normal and have football again, I'm going to make a bold prediction of Tom Brady will not be the all-decade quarterback. So it will end with only two decades. And would you like to make a prediction that a fullback comes back into play?
I would not. Yeah, so that's a funny way of saying it. When Tom doesn't make it in the 2020s, assuming that's how it plays out, it'll be the first time in 30 years that he will have not made it.
Yeah, that he will have not been the all-decade quarterback. I also want to see what happens to the kick return position, if that's still around in another decade.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a question for the future of the sport, no doubt. We will come back here on Sports 180. We'll spend a little bit more time, but also, again, Eric Berry named to the All-Decade team along with Cordarrelle Patterson from the NFL. We'll come back, catch you up on the latest COVID news, especially inside the state of Tennessee. That's coming up next. Jimmy Himes in 16 minutes. He'll join us at 1:30 here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. We are with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Jimmy Himes will stop by the show coming up at 1:30. He'll, of course, be a part of Sports Talk at 3 and stopping by the show now, as he does each and every day, providing an update on the latest out there in the news world. It is Bob Yarbrough from our sister station, News Talk 98.7 WOKI. Good afternoon, Bob. What is the latest?
Hey, good afternoon. Didn't we just start the weekend? Like 10 minutes ago, it seems, right?
The weekends are flying by. You are totally
I thought so.
Right.
Yeah, everything's flying by these days, it seems. All right, so your COVID-19 update, kind of an update on the latest numbers that we're seeing around East Tennessee and some of the other bullet points from the COVID-19 situation across the state and across the region. Let's start in Knox County. We've gotten the new numbers for today. They release these numbers at 11 o'clock each morning, and the new COVID-19 numbers show 119 confirmed cases in the county, which is up from 85 on Friday. So through the weekend, we had an additional 34 cases there. 16 hospitalizations, still just one fatality here in Knox County connected to COVID-19, and 70 recovered cases, meaning they have been released from isolation across the state. And we expect new numbers this afternoon about 3 o'clock from the Tennessee Department of Health. But at last check, they're reporting 3,633 COVID-19 cases. That's up from 2,845. 328 people still hospitalized, 44 deaths in Tennessee connected to the virus. 295 people have recovered from COVID-19 across Tennessee. And group in Knoxville doing what they can to help and combating COVID-19. And here's what they're doing. They've gotten on a Facebook group page, Knoxville Area Mask Makers is the name of it, and they're sewing and delivering protective face masks for essential workers. It's all started as a small Facebook group, and it's taken off. She says they've been asked to make nearly 10,000 of the masks so far for different organizations, about 200 people in the group. But they're looking for more help, and if you can help out with supplies or if you got some sewing abilities there, making masks, you can reach out through their Facebook group. Just search Knoxville Area Mask Makers on Facebook. Josh, may be a way for you to pass the time each afternoon sewing up some masks for area workers.
That I can do. My mother-in-law, by the way, the Janimal, she is up in the Baltimore area, and that's what she's doing right now. She's helping with organization up there that's providing masks. So she's
that's
doing
really
some good
cool.
And
well,
making some masks for a lot of people.
And I know you've probably seen the video that's floating around on social media about how you can fold up a regular, you know, piece of cloth and make your own mask using like ponytail holders and safety pins and whatnot. You don't have to have any sewing abilities. And again, the experts are saying any type of face mask is better than nothing if you have to get out at the grocery store or any other way in public. And it's a simple little folded in thirds, kind of fold in the ends, put on the ponytail holders and safety pin the two ends together and strap them around your ears, stretch it over your mouth, and there you go.
Yeah, I saw Kate Hudson, actually, she pinned that on her IG page. So if you, that's one of the celebrities that I saw that actually did that video. So if you want to check that out, that'd be easy to access. Bob, what are surrounding counties looking like? I know like last week we talked about the virus had gotten into Sevier County a little bit and some of the others. You know me, I'm a Blount County resident. So what are surrounding counties looking like right now with COVID-19?
Sure. Let me give you the number of confirmed cases in each of the surrounding counties at last check. Anderson, and this is in alphabetical order, Anderson County with 10 confirmed cases. Blount County, where you are, Heather, 36 confirmed cases. Campbell County with 5. Cock County with 1. Cumberland County with 26, but they've also had COVID-19 pop up in one of the assisted living facilities there. Hamilton County, 74. Jefferson County, 6. Loudoun County, 13. Roane County, 5. And in Sevier County, 14 positive cases of COVID-19 thus far.
All right. So we are continuing on. I'm seeing, Bob, more optimism is the word I continue to throw out, but optimism, hope of what's going to happen. Not, you know, there are concerns about what the numbers will be this week, but if we continue to make the moves that we have and continue to take the actions, the social or physical distancing, it looks like we could be heading in a positive direction. Is that how you – or negative direction, maybe how I should describe it?
Well, that's what the experts are saying, not only across the nation, but here in Tennessee and certainly in East Tennessee. As a matter of fact, Dr. Martha Buchanan with the Knox County Health Department held their daily update just a few moments ago. They do that about 12:30 or so. And she, like the nationwide experts, expects this next week or two to see the number of cases continue to rise. But as you mentioned, all indications are that curve is starting to flatten a little bit. She says the one thing to look for, however, is a spike in the number of cases. That is something you do not want to see. If it's a gradual increase over the next several days, that means that everyone's doing what they should be, social distancing and that kind of thing, and we're slowing the spread of COVID-19. But if there's a spike that comes up anytime in the near future, the next week or two, that is a negative thing. But it seems that most of the people that are involved in this in an expert way are saying, hey, these next couple of weeks are going to be the tough weeks, perhaps the toughest we've seen in COVID-19. But all indications are, and by the way, that the tough week talk that they're talking about is kind of the lag of everything. You get everything in place, you social distance, you slow the spread of it, and it takes a week or two for the numbers to catch up. That's why one of the reasons why they're focusing on these next few weeks is that the numbers are catching up. So we really started focusing on social distancing and staying home in the past couple of weeks. The numbers that are coming up these next few weeks aren't going to be a direct and a reflection of those numbers. So beyond that, we just got to avoid those spikes in the numbers, like Dr. Buchanan said. So I would agree with you, Josh, that it seems like most of the experts are saying get through this next week or two without any huge spikes in the numbers, and perhaps we will start seeing some light at the end of the tunnel on the other side.
Now, Bob, when people go out, they do have to run to the grocery store, they do have to run to Lowe's or whatever the case may be, or the local hardware store. You're recommending, or people are recommending, that they do cover their face if they can. What about like taking a shower when you get home? Is there anything you can do, like, once you get home? Should you maybe definitely wash your hands, but should you take a shower maybe before you interact with your children and things like that?
You know, I've not heard any of the experts make that specific recommendation. Just the hand washing, avoid touching your face, the hand sanitizer, and that kind of thing as well. But, and again, I've not heard them make that specific recommendation, but I got to think, you know, what's to lose there? What can you hurt by doing that if you just want to make absolutely sure that you're as clean and as sanitized as possible?
Yeah, maybe for some who are in the quarantine era right now, just a general don't forget to shower recommendation would be good.
Well, it can never hurt, can it, right?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Let me ask you guys, when's the last time you showered? You're kind of in a quarantine, so lay it out there. When's the last time you guys bathed?
I did last night, so okay. I took the night shower last night,
right,
and I've rock and rolled today.
I showered this morning. One of the tips I gave Bob maybe last week or the week before, they all kind of run together, was as best you can, try to keep your daily schedule intact. And for me, I'm a daily showerer, so yeah, that's my move right
good
now.
To hear. So you're...
I've actually been getting out and running a little bit more, so I've been doing some multi-shower days.
See, that's what I kind of challenge people. You know, there's a lot of memes and a lot of jokes, but there's probably a lot of reality going around about gaining weight during this time, because you're at home and you're kind of lazy perhaps, and you got all kinds of comfort food around you, and so you might pack on some pounds. I've been challenging people to try and actually lose a few pounds if that's what you want to do and what you've needed to do during this time. You got 30 days or so, or however long this might go, a couple of weeks to 4 weeks. Why not try to drop a few lbs like you're doing there, Josh? Although you don't need to drop the lbs, yeah, but get out and do a little exercise. Not a bad idea.
I was doing so great until last week. It was really the Thursday before last week was where my just whole thing derailed. We hit a dark spot. I'm trying to get back on it today. I am wearing my workout clothes, so right after the show, I have no excuse, but man, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it takes so long to see results, and it takes such a short time for them to just poof, disappear.
Well, and it's that stress eating. It's the comfort food that you've got. And just the fact that, you know, you're like, well, I'm kind of bored. Let me go see what's in the cupboard here. Oh, look, a pack of Doritos. Yeah, that's probably not the best thing to be doing on a regular basis.
Well, here's a little life hack for you. At 2 p.m., when you open up that pack of Doritos, do calf raises while you eat them. It all evens out.
Life. And by the way, I've heard another life hack is if you eat cookie dough before you cook it, it doesn't contain nearly as many calories, too. So there's another life hack.
Showering you with news and important information to get you through your day.
Let me just say this real quickly, Josh. That cookie dough thing, I totally made it up. Of course, there's plenty of calories in there. I didn't want people to go eat raw cookie dough and think, well, I'm not going to gain any weight from this. You will. You will. Sorry, buddy. Just wanted to make sure people knew I was kidding around with that.
Way to ruin my days. Bob Yarbrough, News Talk 98.7 WOKI. Bob, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yes, same time. I'll be back tomorrow as well. Good to see you guys.
Right here on Sports 180, and we're going to come back. We'll talk to Jimmy Himes. His mock draft 1.0 is out for the draft coming up in 2 weeks in the NFL. Where does Tua Tagovailoa go? What are the Titans going to do? We'll talk about it next on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. 90 minutes to go until Sports Talk will take over. And on Sports Talk this afternoon, as you do each and every day, you will hear Jimmy Himes, who joins us now as Jimmy Himes' 2020 NFL Mock Draft 1.0 was released earlier today on 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Check out our NFL Draft Mock Central page to find it. And Jimmy, I don't think it's a big surprise, but you have Joe Burrow, the quarterback from LSU, going to Cincinnati with the number one pick. That seems to be the common thought right now. Do you think that's the right pick for the Bengals? What do you think about Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati? What do you think about Cincinnati and the position that it's in?
I do think it's the right pick for Cincinnati. He is from Ohio, but that's only a part of it. I think the guy had a phenomenal year. I think he is was improved dramatically over the previous season at LSU. I think he can make all the throws. I think his arm is plenty good enough. And the thing that got me, he was basically running an NFL offense with LSU. It was the Saints offense, and it looked pretty good. Now, he had a very good supporting cast with those wide receivers. Josh, I'm not sure we knew how good those receivers were until Joe Burrow got a hold of them. But I think he should be the first pick, and if I'm Cincinnati, I don't waste any time. I take Joe Burrow.
What about those little hands, Jimmy? He had the smallest hands of any quarterback measured at the combine. I mean, those little hands, you think they can throw in the snow?
Yes, I do, Heather. You know, after that, I saw where they listed a number of quarterbacks whose hands weren't exactly humongous. I don't think Patrick Mahomes has very big hands. But you know what? I think Cincinnati wouldn't mind having him. So, yeah, I think that's way overblown. I think that was just somebody looking for some reason to try to pick at Joe Burrow.
Yeah, you also have Tua, and I agree with you, Jimmy. I just wanted to ask you a silly question to throw you off. You've got Tua going in the top five. If Tua is not drafted in one of the top five picks, will you be surprised?
Yes. And what's interesting is I've heard some of the draft analysts say it's a risk to take him, but it's a risk not to. It's a risk to take him because of injuries that he's incurred. It's a risk not to take him because the guy is so incredibly accurate and can make all the throws. What if he becomes a great quarterback, a franchise quarterback, one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, and you passed on that guy? So I can see where it's risky both sides. Now, I saw where Rex Ryan said there's no way in the world he'd take him in the first round. Not just top five, first round. But I would take him. And I don't know if he can hold up to the NFL. One point was made that in the NFL, they protect their quarterbacks more than they do in college, okay? But in the NFL, you also have some monsters, some beasts that play linebacker and that play defensive line that can, once they hit you, it's a little bit more of an impact than a college player oftentimes. So There is a risk with the injury situation, but I think he is such an incredibly accurate passer that I would take him.
Jimmy Himes is on with us. You can read his 2020 NFL Mock Draft 1.0 on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com. So your top pick is an LSU guy. What do you think of the SEC overall in the first round, especially LSU and Alabama, which both seem set to have a number of players going throughout the first round of the draft?
Yeah, I thought so much of the SEC that I had 17 players from the league in my first round. If I had a doubt, I'd just say, well, take somebody from the SEC. They're good enough. Grant Delpit's good enough at LSU. Xavier McKinney at Alabama's good enough, and they were at the bottom of my list. I did see one of the mock draft that had, I think, 15 SEC players in the first round. The SEC is so good, and it's sort of like the AAA to what baseball would be. So I don't have any reservation about the guys that I have up there. Now, I'm sure not all of them will be taken in the first round, but I think you can make an argument for taking them in the first round. So I was pretty happy on the SEC. And I think I had 6 from LSU and maybe 5 from Alabama, something like that. But, those are two great football teams. But I do think the SEC is going to pretty much dominate the first 2 rounds of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jimmy, and that's how they dominate college football. I mean, it takes the players to get there. Jimmy, do you think that you're going to see a lot of NFL teams this draft maybe shy away from being aggressive with their selections and just go with a very known commodity? Or do you think we will see surprises? Like, I mean, there was one point in time that Jordan Love was getting talk in the first 10 picks and things like that. I mean, do you think that's come back down to the real world where, yeah, he might get drafted in the first round, but it'll be late because teams want to be risk averse when it comes to drafting this year?
Specifically with Jordan Love, I don't see him going that high. I saw him play. I saw him against LSU. LSU ate his lunch. He went against 4 ranked teams, and he was 0-for-4 and had like 4 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions. Now, I know he didn't have a great supporting cast. I get that. But I didn't like him that much. I was surprised to see people, in particular Todd McShay, jump on board with him to have him that high. There's no way I'd take Jordan Love over Justin Herbert. Now, do I think there'll be some surprises? Yes, because I think every year there's some general managers or some teams that think they're going to outsmart everybody else. And so they're going to take somebody higher than they probably should just to say, hey, see, we know about this guy. We've got this figured out. I don't know how much the lack of pro days at many colleges is going to impact some of the decision making. Heck, they're going to have to go back and watch more film of their college games, which is what I think they ought to do in the first place. But I do think we'll see some surprises. The one that really intrigues me right now, Heather, is some of this chatter that Washington might be ready to to not take Chase Young and go in the direction of Tua, because I don't know how enamored they are with Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Ron Rivera is not crazy about Haskins or has reservations about him, then you may want to go ahead and push the restart button. But you know what? To me, one of the safest picks of the draft is Chase Young. I think that guy's like Nick Bosa. I think he'll come in, have an immediate impact, get double digits in sack, and he's going to wreak havoc. So that's the safer pick. But I'd rather have a great quarterback than a great defensive end.
Yep.
So I'll be curious to see if Washington takes Tua and how they may handle that. I think that's going to be interesting. Right now, I think that Washington goes with Chase Young, but I would not completely rule out Washington going in another direction.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that and what you just said about Chase Young. Before you go, Jimmy, you have Xavier McKinney, the safety from Alabama, going to the Tennessee Titans. What do you think about where the Titans are just as a team, and if they can add a guy that can help immediately in the secondary with that defense, what that could do for the Titans heading into a season where I'm sure the expectations are going to be really high after making it to the AFC title game?
I really like where the Titans are right now. I like their quarterback, their running back. I think they've got some good receivers. They've done well in that regard. I thought A.J. Brown a year ago was a great pick. On defense, I think they could use several things. They could certainly use they went out and got a pass rusher, but they could use another really good linebacker, and they could use another guy in the secondary. And I think McKinney is really good. And, in fact, if they took Delpit over McKinney, if they had a shot at Delpit to take him instead of McKinney, either way, I think they're getting a really good football player to help a secondary. And the thing is, with the Titans, you know, they're going to be facing, well, if you want to get through the AFC, you probably have to get through Kansas City, right? How good do they throw the football? So I'm sitting there thinking, you better make sure that your secondary is as shored up as you can get. But I think McKinney's a really good football player. I think he proved it at Alabama, and I think he would be a really good pick for the Titans.
Would pass rush be also something that you would like to see the Titans address this draft? Maybe not in the first round, but at some point?
Yes. Now, they have Landry, who I think had 9 sacks last year, something like that. And I think they've made an effort to go in that direction. But, yes, would I like to see them get another pass rush? You can't have enough of those. And what a lot of teams are doing now, even at the NFL level, is if they have 2 really good pass rushers and they get a third, then they may line the guy up at tackle and let him be a pass rusher from the inside. We've seen colleges probably do that more than the NFL. But I think there's some merit to do that on passing situations. But I was watching some NFL show the other day, and they said the 3 most – important positions in the NFL for quarterback, having a left tackle, and having a pass rusher. So those are 3 very critical positions in the NFL. And if you can get another pass rusher, I'm all for it.
You can check out Jimmy Himes' Mock Draft 1.0 at 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Will Westman's Farrar and Sam Foreman have posted those as well. Several others to come this week, including the one that's for sure going to be right. That'll be mine coming out on Wednesday. So check those out on the website. Jimmy, by the time we get to the draft in a couple of weeks, I think everybody will be ready for it. Something in the sports world. It's not actual sports, but it's about as close as we can get right now.
Well, and that's one reason I'm not adverse to them having a draft. I did see where Adam Schefter was really against it. And I think the reasons for it, he was saying you can't be dragging bodies out of hospitals and having a draft. I think he's sensitive to that. I think most people know that he married a widow. The woman's husband was killed in 911. And I think he's very sensitive about that. And I understand that. But I think having the draft would be a great diversion. I think it'll be the most watched draft maybe in history, because there isn't a whole lot else going on. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the draft, and we'll see. And by the way, my second draft won't have Miami taking 2 quarterbacks.
All right, I like that, Jimmy, because currently they're taking 2 of 5 and Jordan Love, I think, 18.
Yeah, I should that up. I was looking more at where I thought they would go instead of the team need. Maybe Miami needs 2 quarterbacks. I don't know.
they need a lot of help, Jimmy, so that might not be
the Eagles needed 2 to win a Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
That's right.
It,
there you
it
go.
Can still work
that's
out.
Right.
Hey, Jimmy, we appreciate that's right. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to hearing you on Sports Talk this afternoon.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Jimmy Himes with us here on Sports 180. Remember, all guests join us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We will come back here on Sports 180. The GOAT conversation for multi-sport athletes. There was a name, big name, included that probably shouldn't have been. Also an update for you on the Apple Watch gate, if it is that. That's coming up right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. With Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. We'll kind of reset things at the start of the 2 o'clock hour, as there are some reports of sports coming back or potentially coming back. We'll have to wait a little bit longer, but you know what? When that day arrives, the wait will, at that time, for sure be worth it. So we'll continue to get you ready. In the meantime, it's a time where we talk about best of this and favorite that and incorrect rankings on brackets put together by Eric Kane of the Starting Lineup. Love you, Eric.
Oh, man.
But
Kaner.
Then there was this. And yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Some work to do. Yeah, some work to do, no doubt. He's a great kid. We love him. So you've got this. This came from TSN Sports talking about the greatest multi-sport athletes of all time. Bo Jackson was somebody who was in the running. Makes sense, right? Pretty good. Deion Sanders, remember him playing at a high level in the NFL and Major League Baseball, like Bo. And then Tim Tebow was a part of the poll. As I read from awfulannouncing.com, and I have to go there because it looks like they took the poll down. The tweet was deleted. Tim Tebow was in the discussion, and Tim was a terrific college football player, and actually, I think, had more value in the NFL than was decided. He did win a playoff game, but he also was not a great pro. Nobody's going to make that case. And he's been able to play professionally in baseball and not been bad. He just hasn't made it to the major leagues yet. But why, Heather, would you put Tim Tebow in the conversation if you're talking about the greatest multi-sport athletes with Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders?
Well, this poll did originate in Canada, and, you know, they are hockey experts up there and Canadian Football League experts. So maybe Tim Tebow was just a very recognizable name for the demographic that most consumes TSN Sports, because that is the only reason why I could imagine there would be any sort of conversation where Tim Tebow's name is inserted with the likes of Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson. In any other world, just shouldn't happen.
Yeah, so Tim Tebow, great athlete. To be able to play professionally in baseball after having not played baseball for so many years because he was playing football, an incredible accomplishment. I just wouldn't put him there with Bo and Deion in this conversation. I will say this, though. It got a lot of attention. So if you're looking for that right now, mission accomplished.
I think you want to look for good attention. I would discourage people from just maybe saying anything to get any amount of attention. That would that's never been one of my best philosophies. But I will say this too. Tim Tebow is incredible. Now, I think when you talk about his professional baseball career, a little bit of Peter Pan syndrome where he doesn't have to grow up. I mean, he's having fun. He has a side job working and doing SEC football coverage. But as his primary job, he's pretending to be a Major League Baseball player, and he's liking it, and apparently his wife is on board with it, so it's like, why not? I can't fault a guy for wanting to live out his dream, especially if there's a spot for you, but it's more of, I just don't want to grow up and get a real job yet, so I just want to keep playing baseball as long as I can. Kenny Powers also had the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go there with Tebow, though. I think he's a pretty active guy in terms of all that he does. I will say this, he's been a lot better than I expected as a baseball player.
Oh, really? I didn't know what to expect from him.
Yeah, he's been a lot better. I thought he had a chance to get a call up actually 2 years ago before he suffered an injury at the end of the season. So, is there some publicity and stuff all that comes with it? Yeah, I guess so, but I mean, he seems like a guy that, in terms of the way that he works, to be that good. You know, it's like Michael Jordan. I think people look back at Michael Jordan like it was some sideshow. If he had actually stuck with it, he would have had a chance to make it to the majors. It's just that he was the best basketball player on the planet, so he went back and did that. And Tebow doesn't have that kind of opportunity from football. There are two conversations. He's nowhere near the Deion Bo conversation in terms of multi-sport athletes. He's also in the very, very, very small class of people who would even have a shot to pull something like this off.
Yeah, I don't want it to
sound... So from that, I will give him a ton of credit.
Yeah, I don't want it to sound like I'm dogging the guy out. He's incredible. To be able to be his age and still competing and playing a professional sport, which is what minor league baseball is, it's impressive. And it goes to show how much he is working at it and honing his craft. But I think if it was most people that had to get a job or keep playing Major League Baseball for their livelihood, for them to be successful and have money, most people would have given it up by now if they had the same stats and the same level of success as Tebow has had.
Yeah, 2018 in Double-A, he hit .273 for the season, had 14 doubles, 6 home runs, 36 RBIs, walked 22 times. It's pretty good. .336 on base percentage that season, close to .400 slugging percentage as well. So kind of a silly controversy, but you know what? We'll take those as well. I also think this is a bit silly, even though I'm a little bit confused by it. So how about somebody with better information? Joel Silverberg talked to Chris Lowe, our friend from ESPN.com on Saturday Sports Talk this past weekend, and talked about the Apple Watch situation at Alabama with the football players away from the program right now. What's going on there?
I think it's one of those things that every staff around the country is looking for ways while they're not with their players. Because, you know, places like Alabama, Tennessee, Ohio State, they got players spread all over the country. In fact, I had this conversation with David Cutcliffe at Duke, but finding ways that they can continue to engage with their players, keep them pointed in the right direction, make sure they're okay, they're healthy, eating the right things, you know, give them workouts. Obviously, you can't sit there virtually and watch them work out, the strength coach. And Alabama gave their guys Apple Watches. And now they've come back and said that the only person there that's actually viewing the information is sports medicine, Jeff Allen. And, you know, what's going to happen is the SEC is going to either say, listen, this is okay or it's not okay. And if it's okay, then everybody's going to do it, everybody that can. But, it, you know, again, it's sort of an example of Saban sort of being a little bit of a step ahead of everybody. And I don't think it's a big issue. Here's the way I look at it. Whether it was Alabama, Ohio State, or Tennessee, with everything that's going on right now in our country, in this world, is the worst thing in the world trying to make sure that your kids are doing the right things and you're keeping in touch with them and staying engaged with them and making sure they're sleeping when they should, eating what they should, maybe doing some of the workouts and trying to stay as physically fit as they possibly can. Now, I think that's a far cry from sitting there and having a virtual workout with them, with a strength coach. And, you know, ultimately the SEC, the NCAA will have the final say whether this is okay or not. And I think that's where we are right now. I mean, they'll look into it and say, no, this is acceptable. It's not acceptable. It's not. Then Alabama will have to discontinue, you know, the use of their Apple Watches.
Chris Lowe, ESPN.com on Saturday Sports Talk this past weekend. Was on Sports 180 this past week as well, last Monday, in fact. Remember, you can always check out interviews on the WNML app in the podcast section, Apple Podcasts as well. Any show on the station, you can always check it out. So Chris Lowe talking about the Apple Watch situation. At no point did I get hot and bothered over this. Some did. But you know what? We're also looking for things to get hot and bothered about. We always are, in fact. And that popped up. It was Alabama. I was not surprised by the reaction either.
Yeah, and the fact that that people are probably kind of jealous that their coach didn't think of it as well. Like, why do we have to read about Alabama being two steps ahead of everybody all the time? And it just goes to show the caliber of program that they have. They're very forward thinking. They come up with some great ideas. Do they push the envelope? Absolutely they do. And that's kind of what we talk about in college football, is like, you got to get all the way up to that line and maybe your toes get over the line, but you can't just totally cross it.
You don't have an Apple Watch, do you? You have the AirPods and the iPhone, but not the watch?
No, I've got the AirPod and I'm trying to fight it. I would love one, especially now. Like, I have completely clamped down on my spending at this point in time. So maybe by my birthday, if things are still normal and we all, you know, have money, I could maybe get one. But yeah, it's just, it looks really cool. But I have a Fitbit and it does my heart rate and it tells me how many steps I get. That's really all I need it for. But like, one of my friends, she can like talk into her phone. And I mean, it makes phone calls and everything. Or talking to her watch. It's pretty cool.
Well, just a reminder, Tim Cook, he's streaming, of course, on Apple Podcasts listening back. We're not college athletes. You can send us free stuff, Joel included. We'll come back with another hour of Sports 180 here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.